Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
All right, I'm sorry. I forgot we're on different time zones. Finally.
That's right.
Yeah.
I am in a town where has never really been in quarantine.
Wow. So your audience must be pretty relaxed and in a good mood.
Yeah, they're irritating. They're doing the same thing that was happening a year ago, which is they're checking their phones and whispering to each other during my set. And I was like, wow, you know, if this were on Zoom, I could mute you. I could kick you out of the room. I could do all kinds of things. And in this case, I just have to suck it up.
We are seeing the benefits of Zoom right now. The more we do live performance, the fact that you can have someone muted is nice. I mean, technically a bouncer could mute somebody by like shoving a fist down the person's throat, but they don't seem eager to do that yet. We got to get our bouncers back.
Yeah, exactly. We got to get it together. So, yeah, I'm in Fort Collins. It is adorable, but there are hundreds of people on the streets.
Yeah.
Hundreds. Wow. Yeah. And everyone, here's the thing. Everyone's masked. Everywhere says wear a mask before you go in. I accidentally walked into Starbucks without a mask. Mm-hmm. First thing the barista said to me was, "Do you have a mask?"
Oh, that's good.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh, of course I do. I'm so sorry." And then I put it on. So that's the good news. Is that they seem to be taking the mask mandate pretty good. And little kids are wearing them outside too. Like most people, a lot of people aren't wearing them on the street.
Right.
Well, they shouldn't, honestly.
You know, I know it's jarring, but outside is very low transmission rates, like almost nothing. So you shouldn't have to wear a mask outside.
And if you're vaccinated, it's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how many in the audience?
Room probably seats 140.
And what do you have in
60? 60-ish.
All right. How's 65? That feel?
They're still spread out pretty good. There was also the problem with altitude.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I hadn't drank enough water, so I was not hydrated. I wasn't particularly hydrated.
Yeah. Did you have two shows?
Just one. And then, as I was telling Kyle before the show, there was a roast that I was supposed to be part of, but I was so dehydrated and kind of woozy after the set.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to go back to the hotel and drink water and fall asleep because I had a little bit of a headache and I needed water. And so I said to David Rodriguez, I was like, would you mind if I just slacked off? And he was like, no, fair enough. Go do what you need to do. And then I realized.
You didn't hire Tony Hinchcliffe to replace you?
We can talk about that in a second. But
yeah,
I was
for sure. I had to get that in, Jackie. I was like, oh my God, give me an opening, please, God.
I actually made a Tony Hinchcliffe a reference because the kid who opened for me, there were a couple of young comics, and one of them was a young black man whose name I don't know offhand, but he was very funny. Mm-hmm. Until he said that he had never quarantined.
Okay.
And I
remember his name as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, we don't need to badmouth him because I wanted him to actually go into, I'm a young black man. I live life on the edge all the time. But he did not go into that. He went into something that, you know, was okay. The audience liked it. But he was talking about, it was like, it was something about being young and black and then, and having a white girlfriend. And I thought about going up after him and riffing on that. And then I realized how much that didn't work out for Tony Hinchcliffe.
You know what? Keep it, be safe, guys. Just say, let's hear it for your MC. That's all you need to say. Then pivot to your shit. All right. Save your career, headliners.
And absolutely never call some Asian person by a slur. How about that?
Well, okay.
In your riffing, in your stupid ass riffing, why don't you not use the CH word, which is what I've decided to call it.
Yeah, because the C word is ours.
Say it.
Let's be honest. The C word's ours.
Don't be a cunt about this. And,
you can call me that. like that was a wild couple days to be on Twitter. Were you obsessed with it? I was.
No, but you're always obsessed with Twitter. So it's always.
That's true.
I'm on three other platforms. That's the only platform you're on.
Maybe I should siphon off some of my obsessive energy to other platforms. You know, it's like there's always, Jackie, you know the old saying, there's an audience for every act.
Right? That is an old saying, and it is so true.
There's always, I mean, I was talking about with some other friends, like before social media, there's always guys that were like, say appallingly hacky, right? And like, right. You'd be like a city comic, like San Francisco, and working the punchline, trying to get, you know, a 5-minute set for a comedy on the road or evening at the improv, right?
And so Johnny Carson.
Yeah, we're all just focused on this little stuff. And then you take, like, you're like, oh, I need money. I'll do these one-nighters with somebody you've never heard of, who's been doing comedy since for 20 years at least, and they only do one-nighters, and they kill with a lot of hacky shit, right? And they never go anywhere, really. But now, and I'm not saying that's exactly describing Tony Hinchcliffe or any of those guys, but the comics that like that paint with those colors, shall we say, they aren't like, you know, just consigned to one-nighters anymore. Like they have their own thing. They got their own their podcast audience, and that in itself is sort of admirable, to create your own world of people that come to you. But you're also only going to get feedback from people who like your most extreme shit, right? And so, because it's weird, because his audience did not walk out. They did not get angry like everyone on Twitter did, and everybody pretty much in the whoever reacted to it, right? His audience was apparently fine with it. So he must have been shocked with the response. And here's the thing, like, you know, no, you're not supposed to record comics, you know, because I, in theory, we're working on new shit. We don't want you profiting on our stuff. But you also have to assume someone's going to record something and put it out there. And when
I heard that it was the MC was just recording his set, and that was left over from it till he got off stage.
Yeah. I don't know who initially recorded it.
And it looked like club recording, but go ahead. Yeah.
Definitely. It looked like iPhone recording. But when the whole world is invited to see you, you know, they're going to respond maybe differently than your hardcore fans. Now, for me, I would hope when everyone saw my shit, they'd be like, wow, where's she been? I'm late to the party. I'm a fan, right? That's what you want. You do want that many eyeballs on your new shit at some point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it went a different way, because what he did was pretty... I even Art Shapiro put the full setup, like every, you know, oh, here's the context. And it's like,
fuck you.
I'm giving you as much leeway as I can, comic to comic. And there's not even a skeleton of a joke. There's like maybe a bone, you know, one fossilized attempt. And then it just was like this rant, you know?
You are, it's essentially, it can show the worst of us.
Yeah.
When we start riffing.
Yeah. Right. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is true with comics and with just regular walking around folk. Right. When you are riffing, when you think you're saying something funny, it shows exactly what is happening in the sort of the unconscious, the deepest recesses. And if you're a comic, you're trained. You know, you've trained yourself over 10,000, you know, sets to sort of self-police. Is that going to be funny to some extent? And so you know that all of that was happening, because Tony and whatever his name is, he's been doing it at least 10 years, right?
I swear I've only met him once. I thought he was British. That is the most British white guy name. Like no white Americans are named Tony. I was like, oh, he's okay. Whatever. Go ahead.
And yeah, no, I don't think I've even ever met him, but he has the vibe of a guy who's been doing it for at least 10 years.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
So I think he should have known what the hell was going on.
You know what? If you're only playing to those people that you're cultivating, you're growing in this garden, mm-hmm. How are you going to know anymore? You know?
Well, you know, but you think that it's okay. You're playing in your own backyard for so long that you're like, this is how this game goes, and I can say whatever they want, and they know that I'm not a monster, except for that we're all kind of a monster because we all still think this is funny. And this young Asian kid who's emceeing doesn't know him and doesn't know.
He was really funny. His set was funny. He had some. First of all, just
the Pang guy.
Yeah, Pang Dang. Okay. The ability to learn to do stand-up in a different language for that audience it's got to be so fucking hard, okay? So the degree of difficulty right off the bat is so much harder for him. Learn the sense of humor.
When I was in Hong Kong, I saw the open mic, and they didn't have Chinese language open mic. They only had English open mic.
Right.
And so everybody working in English whose first language was Cantonese.
Yeah.
Was a trip. I've never met the MC kid either.
So we had this chunk at the end that was he was talking about being Asian in America, right? And so he knew he was talking to white people, so he was kind of riding that line, right? And then he started talking about, he did a couple jokes about how Americans are beholden to China financially, and including, you know, this audience that buys stupid shit from Walmart that is made in China, right? And it got good laughs, but that was the thing I think that triggered Tony when he came out, because he started calling the audience. He got mad that they laughed at quote anti-American, he perceived as anti-American jokes, but then he called the audience race traitors, and it's like, no, everyone in America, like, they're not all white, like every American is buying products from China. So he was a little, it was so funny how everything was off and just wild, right?
Right. And if I was sitting in the back of the room, I would have been like, I would have been shocked that he was getting the laugh from it, because, but also this is us essentially in the back of the room going, oh, you fucked up. Oh, they hate you. Oh, you fucked up. Oh, they hate you. Because you ever sit in the back of the room and I don't know him, so I don't know if he's funny other than, I know that this wasn't, but he might be funny in real life, right? He might
be.
If I was in the back of the room and I'm watching someone that I like and they eat it, that's funny to me.
Oh, so, great. You call in other people, please. A meltdown's happening. That's when you call everybody. No, get to the club quick.
And that's what this is, except we don't know if he's actually funny in real life. Like if he's actually a good comic.
Yeah, I don't know either. He's part of that crew that's always been hostile to any woman over 35. So I feel like the fact that we are even talking about it, it's like to them, it's like two hens are just
out, right? It's just us screaming into the wind because they're not going to hear it anyway.
Right,
and the only younger women comics are the ones that they're like, well, maybe Nikki Glaser would suck my dick. And you're like, no.
Whoa, let's leave Nikki out.
Nikki doesn't need to be in this, but Nikki's age and Eliza's age and sort of 25 to 35 year old blonde women who do stand up, Erica Rhodes, they're like, I would love to, you know, I would love to have her on my podcast. It was like when what's his face asked Kirkman to be on his podcast.
Who?
I don't know. There was one of those old dinosaur dudes. And Kirkman, you know, is out about being not 25. And she was like, why would I come on your podcast to tell you that you're kind of a dick? And I thought that was because, the only reason he wanted her to come on the podcast, he was like, well, if I could talk to her, he's like, you know, like there's a certain kind of comic. And I don't know if it's all men, but it seems to be a lot of dudes who think if I could just get her alone, I bet you she'd think I was great.
Well, also, I feel like they tend to love like younger, quote, moldable female comics that might be able to mold it to a girl.
And they wanted to mold to their dick. I'll be over here.
Hardcore just did a Friday late show, guys. She's
I'm about to go off and do Saturday shows.
But you know what was funny too was like WME dropped him, right? After a couple days.
William Morris Entertainment.
But the idea that WME had no idea and they're like, oh, this is shocking. Fucking signed him because he talked like that.
That's why you booked him.
The shit, you know
exactly who he was.
Oh my god! Because I used to be with WME. They go out, they go to nightclubs, and they watch their comics perform. Okay, so they knew what he was, and they dropped him. You know, it's all just so performative and stupid.
Well, they'll just, you know, maybe they wanted a younger version of Tony.
good luck. But yeah,
what did I miss on Twitter? How exciting was it?
It was pretty wild. The other thing, like I understand like being super angry about that outburst, right? Well, I understand it as much as I can because it's not directed at me. I mean, you and I and every female comic, if we were able to put together a clip reel of the shit that the men who went up after us said about us, it would also be appalling, right?
Yes.
So I feel like I know, on a scale of 1 to 10, that might've been a 10, and maybe the worst I've had is like a 7 or an 8. Right. But I do that rage of being off stage and watching after you just killed, watching somebody fucking just go at you because they're angry or they don't want to have to follow you or whatever, who knows what's going on. It's really enraging. So I don't give a shit that guy posted it, you know? And it's like, hey, if you're, you know, any comic who's had a bachelorette party at the show, if you were just to isolate how many times we call them cunt, we would look awful, okay? So you do have to know whatever you're saying on stage, it's possible it's going to go out there and look bad, you know? But you at least got to be able to, like, defend it and go, all right, this is what I was trying to do. Here's extra video that actually does give a context or whatever, you know? It's going to happen, you know?
You know what? The last time I called someone a cunt, it was when the MAGA hat Nazi in the front row in Zany's Rosemont said, okay. I said, how long have you been a Nazi? And she said, my whole life. And I said, well, then you're a fucking cunt and you should get out. And that was the last time I called a person a cunt. So the context on that would have been, I wish someone would have filmed that.
Yeah, that was a leading question. Now, in her defense, how long have you been a Nazi is a leading question.
Been literally talking to me for 30 minutes going, you know, I love Donald Trump. Are you? Do you like my hat? Do you like my hat? You know, you're really fat. You know, I don't think you're funny. You're really, and literally just for 30 minutes, her just whispering shit at me.
Oh, I
the leading was not done by this one.
Okay. All right.
She led me
in that conversation.
So allow me to put that in context. Is that
we have to cut. What if we have to take hours of that video to put this podcast in context? Folks, here's what we
like, I just called you a cunt in the early part of this show, but I think we all know that that was justified. What just happened? I've never used the word as much as I just have in this episode.
I think he lost work.
So animated about this. You were like, comedy is back, you guys.
Well, yeah, it's fun to talk about. I'm so excited to talk about club comedy again. I'm so sick of talking about people's tweets. Come on, let's talk about performances again. This is exciting, finally.
Congratulations.
But I do like think, it, you know, his fans aren't going to be outraged. They're not going to leave him. And he might get a few more fans because people love it when, you know, someone refuses to apologize. So in the end, it might end up working in his favor. Here's what I think, though. I think
it's not going to work in his detriment.
No. But in terms of, like, you know, being super angry, like, it's such wasted energy when there are so many fucking good comics you could just take that energy and put towards, right? And sometimes I feel like, I want to challenge the audience or the people that are criticizing on Twitter, right? And go, all right, so you hate this guy. You think this is racist. Good. Who do you love? When's the last time you went out? Because he's being supported by his fans. When's the last time you went to a live show? All right, it was 2020. But still, It's coming. Like, have you bought this, CDs?
I do love how you have made this entirely about you in the end, because what I have is,
I'm saying any comic.
Oh no. Cause here's
a fan of a comic. Be a, no.
If you want to, cause the thing is you can't say that, the Penn guy was overreacting and that the Asian Americans who were, who hated how racist this was, you took the twist. You said that it's a waste of energy and that it was, and you wanted to rechannel that energy into coming to see you.
No. Listen, you're being an asshole today, but that's fine. You're at altitude. I'm not saying comics. I'm saying the people that are tweeting their outrage and stuff like that. I would say that's great. Be outraged at this guy, but you know that there's like 4,000 other comedians that are really fucking funny. Do you know there's like 1,000 fucking funny Asian comics? And instead of spending all day being mad at this guy, why don't you buy a Robin Tran's album? Why don't you buy Atsuko's album? Why don't you figure out a way to see them? She has a new show on Hulu that's coming out, you know, or any other comic. There's so many of us that are good. We don't make any waves because we're not out there completely freaking out on stage. You know, it's just, it gets frustrating when all the energy about is about bad comics, and it's rarely about good comics.
I know. As we obsess about how great this story is about this terrible comic, but it's
fascinating. Nothing that happened.
It is fascinating. It is, and I love this energy. And I see that you're keeping hydrated. I don't have anything in this room that is the right height, and so I got to hold this laptop right up to my face. Hi. And plus, I forgot to bring headphones and a mic again.
Well, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, it's all fine. And then, so two shows. It took me 2 hours to get my rental car yesterday.
Yeah.
In line.
You mean there are that many people?
Yeah.
Holy shit, did they have no workers?
7 people working the desk. 7 different people. Had to be 100 people in line to get cars.
Hey, guess what, car rental companies? Start paying more money so you can hire more people. No one wants to work for you.
Every register was full. And they were trying to crank it out. The woman who had me started making small talk, and I was like, nope. No small talk, lady. Get me a tiny fucking Chevy Spark. And so it was an hour and a half in line. I go out, get the car, half an hour to get out of the lot because they had to check at the gate. And then driving from Denver to Fort Collins, I was talking to Carmen on the phone, and I was like, did you know it's an hour 21, almost an hour and a half from the Denver airport to Fort Collins? And she was like, do you ever look at maps before you get places? And I was like, I guess not. So I drove to Fort Collins, and I landed at noon. I got to Fort Collins at 4:15.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And the show was at 6:00.
Oh.
So I didn't have any chill time, and I didn't have time to really acclimate to the weather or altitude. And then everybody was very fun, but in line for Thrifty Car Rental, like, I don't know, 40 people behind me was a comic who recognized me. I was wearing a mask, and she was like, is your name Jackie? And I said, yes. And she said, I'm Samantha Hale.
Woo!
Who is a LA comic.
Yeah.
And she's like, we worked together once at Flappers 1,000 years ago. And I said, have you been comic of the week? And she said, I have not.
Hell yeah.
And I said, and she was supposed to work with Craig Robinson this week and at a theater in Denver, but Comedy Works downtown reopened. And for some reason, they canceled his theater appearance. So she already had a ticket to come to Denver. And I said, well, do you want a guest set at Fort Collins or Boulder? And she was like, yes. And so comic of the week, Samantha Hale in line at the Thrifty.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to be comic of the week. You know what?
And pick up a guest set.
An unnecessary flight to Denver is one of them.
and a guest set at the Comedy Fort. So she's doing the first show tonight. And yeah.
The theater paid her, right? She had to get paid, right?
Nope.
That seems illegal. I don't know.
Right. I guess there was no, the person who ran the gig didn't sign the contracts, I guess.
Oh my God. What the fuck? Come on.
Yeah. It seems like a terrible... it seems like sad state of affairs. So, but she was, she's in town, and I asked her if she wanted to do a set in Boulder, but she is leaving on Sunday. So she was like, I could change my flight. And I was like, please don't change your flight for a guest set in Boulder. And then, so she's heading back to LA, but it's the Samantha Hale at the Samantha Hale on the Twitter.
On the Twitters. And it's the Samantha Hale, H-A-L-E.
H-A-L-E. There you go. And so she is the comic of the week. Hey. I don't know if it's 30 minutes, but that was my next story. So
you guys want to throw to a break for fun?
Yeah, let's cool down.
We have wasted this world. Our magic put a storm in the sky that has rendered the surface of our planet uninhabitable. But beneath the surface, well, that's another story entirely. In a city built leagues below the apocalypse, survivors of the storm forge paths through a strange new world. Some seek salvation for their homeland above. Others seek to chart the vast undersea expanse outside the city's walls. And others still seek, what else? Fortune and glory. Dive into the Aether Sea, the latest campaign from the Adventure Zone, every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Guys, Function of Beauty. It creates unique and customized hair care formula based on a short but thorough quiz. It really is short. It's like 5 questions. Give your hair everything it needs to look and feel its best. Every product is sulfate and paraben free. It's vegan and cruelty free. The Function of Beauty fans are Function of Beauty fans are absolutely wild about the fragrances. Try tropical mango, sweet peach, crisp pear, or subtler scents like lavender rose, and my favorite, eucalyptus. I like the subtler scents. If fragrance is not for you, that's okay. You can get unscented as well. A host testimonial. I think I just gave it, Kyle.
Testify.
Go to functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie and take your quiz and save 20% on your first order. That applies to their full range of customized hair, skin, and body products. That's functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie to let them know you heard it here and get 20% off your order. I'm an L-A-U-R-I-E, Laurie, by the way, not an L-O-R-I. functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie.
Hey, you guys, Green Chef. This is a Green Chef ad, you guys. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or just looking to eat healthier, there's a range of recipes to suit any diet or preference. I have to tell you, the recipes are quick and easy, and they're literally, I swear to God, they're idiot proof. I love the pictures. They have the Denny's pictures. There's step-by-step instructions. There's chef tips and photos to guide you along. The ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped so you can just spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. And they come in kind of like low-impact plastic. They're just little baggies and stuff. They're not using like fancy. It's just nice the way all the ingredients come pre-packed. And a couple of my favorite is there was a great fish dish and there was a great scallop dish that I did. And those were delicious because I never do buy scallops or fish. And they reminded me that those things totally exist. And then I'll go out and get them, right? So if you go to greenchef.com/90 Jackie Laurie, and use code 90 Jackie Laurie, and Laurie is L-A-U-R-I-E, spell her name, to get you get $90 off free shipping, and which includes free shipping. And so go greenchef.com/90 Jackie Laurie, and the code 90 Jackie Laurie for $90 off.
Yes. You know what? Here's the thing. Green Chef kicked off Family Dinner, which has been like transformative for my son because his dad and I aren't arguing in front of him. And we talk. It's nice. And also, I've noticed like when we don't have Green Chef that week and we just make our own meals, there's a huge downgrade in the quality and nutritional substance of the meal. So I'm always grateful when we have a Green Chef to all work on for Family Dinner. So I love it.
Cool. So I come home on Monday and then I'm home for a week and a half until I come back to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy called me this morning. He said, "You want to talk to the dog?" And I said, "Why don't you just say hi for me?"
Jackie, are you going to take your rental car from this week and just park it someplace for like 6 days near the airport so that you don't have to go through that? Seriously.
Hey, Rockefeller, I'm not doing that. I don't know that I'll get another rental car because the Denver Comedy Works South, which is where I'm at the end of the month, it's this one I had to go to Boulder.
Uh-huh.
So I needed a car because it was sort of multiple cities. And plus I'm meeting my friend Jillian for lunch tomorrow. And she has two kids and her ex-husband gave her daughter COVID.
Oh my God.
COVID. Yeah. And then her current husband doesn't want to get vaccinated.
Oh my God.
She has great taste in men is what I have to say.
You know, sometimes I hear stories that make me feel grateful for our situation. And that's one of them. I got my son the first dose, Pfizer, a couple days ago. It was hilarious because it was like the first full day they were accepting 12 to 15. And the whole CVS was like filled with, say, 14 to 15 year old boys who are mortified because their mothers are with them at a grocery store, at a pharmacy, and everyone's just like head is in their hands and monosyllabic answers. It was hilarious. There was like 17 versions of me and my son at CVS waiting to get a vaccine.
Darla said that she took her 14-year-old daughter to first day as well.
Yeah.
So, but Noah was excited. She was just like, yeah, let's knock this out. Let's get this done. And is your son happy that he got it done?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's like, so we're like, I guess 4 weeks away from as much freedom as we'll ever have. I realized even though I'm vaccinated and I think everyone I come in contact is vaccinated except my son, it's like, there's always like this minimal possibility that he could get it. And that's been really stressing me out. And the idea that everybody that, you know, in my world is vaccinated is really, it's just starting to make me feel lighter in addition to the fact that I have 1.5 less pounds of boobs.
Oh, right. How are your boobs feeling?
They're still sore. It's going to be like 6 weeks, before they just feel like boobs again, you know? But I mean, it is weird how there's more room like for my arms in front and stuff. Mm-hmm. You keep, cause I know you're in an awkward position, with your laptop. There's times where I'm just talking to a wall and then you lean forward and you're back in and then a shoe. That's okay.
A shoe. I'll pick it up. I'll hold it. Last night I have got to figure out the exact set list that I want to do, but I don't know what I want to, you know. Like right now, I'm not doing the old man, pushing the old man story or the Sky Club story.
Okay.
And so I guess I don't know if they're, because they don't really fit in the set list right now. But I don't want to throw them out. I want them on the album.
Yeah. I mean, think of the album as just little cuts that are going to make you money on Sirius. So does anyone listen to comedy albums anymore? I mean, maybe they do, but it seems like we all get most of our income from
tracks.
Little slices that are played on Sirius XM.
Just tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is, there's part of me that just wants this to be done. I know that Ryan told me that he wasn't going to be editing it. Mm-hmm. And that there were going to be less camera operators and it was just going to be more switch work and this type of thing that he was going to be doing, directing and producing. Mm-hmm. But when he told me last week and reiterated that he wasn't going to be editing it, I literally was like, cancel it. Just cancel it. Because now it's going to cost more money, because now I have to order have a separate editor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but here's what I have told myself, which is true, is that if I regret not having a video of Hero, of my last album.
Right.
If I want to do clips.
Yeah.
And I do, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all the places that clips go. I need decent clips.
Yeah.
And at the very least, this thing will give me an hour of clips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if nobody buys it, which no one has bought anything else I've ever fucking done. So I have to go forward thinking that they will probably not buy it, but I have to make it, right? The joy is supposed to be in the making. And finding the money. I do like that look on your face. What?
And making? Are you serious? It's wretched making an album. It's horrific. There's no joy in it.
Oh, I love it.
Right, but I mean art in general, but I know what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. You're right in the album. But the insanity is that I have to just, you know, because I was talking to Ryan and I was like, is it going to look as good as Horcrux? Because I like how Horcrux looked. There were things, but for the most part, I loved, you know, I liked the quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, the quality will either be better or the same because of the cameras. And it might be better because of the cameras. And I was like, yeah, but there's not really that roving camera. And he was like, yeah, but it was a three camera shoot for Horcrux. This will be a four camera shoot. And I'm going to have one guy working the zoom in. And the guy working the zoom in is going to do the editing. Damien, he's Armenian. Very exciting to have an Armenian guy edit.
Pushing the Armenians.
Just trying to find him work. And then he also worked one of the cameras on Horcrux. So he has seen, you know.
He knows you.
He knows me.
Right.
And I don't really move. There's not a lot of jumping around going on. So yeah. Four stationary cameras should, with someone, you know, with someone doing some close-ups and stuff, should be fine.
That's plenty. I mean, yeah. I remember when I did 45 jokes about my dead dad on the Saturday first show, one of the cameramen said he had an emergency and he just left. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I don't have a center shot from the middle of the room. I only have side shots. Are you fucking kidding me? You're good.
Man.
You're fine. And then Ryan put it all together. He figured it out.
Yeah.
I had a live show last night at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club.
Oh, there you go. How was that? Just one show or two?
I watched it tonight. It was fun. It was a 7 o'clock show. Of course, driving out there on a Friday, horrific. But yeah.
How many people?
25 to 30.
Okay. But alive, right in front of you.
Yeah, they're in front of me. And they were, you know, they were fun. It was, it felt like everyone's first time back, you know, like,
okay.
I'm trying to clip out something, but like the heckles were like positive, you know, so like, I like your toes. And I'm like, you're supposed to say I suck. You haven't been in an audience in a while, right? Yeah, it was fun. It was, you know, obviously I had my mask off in the room. Most everyone had their masks off. And
they all have their masks off.
Yeah. In the green room, I had it on, but I was like, what am I, you know, maybe it's fine. I don't know what kind of paranoid I want to live. But then I was talking to someone after the show who mentioned they were Republican. And I was like, I'm just going to back up. Just give us 6 feet, please. But, you know, I don't know. Like Bill Maher, okay, got COVID, right? He said he's vaccinated. Maybe, I'm sure he is, but who knows if he followed the protocol correctly? Who knows if he waited the 14 days you're supposed to after the second dose? I really have no idea. But even if you get it, it's a very light, you know, it's usually like a light case. The vaccine prevents you from being hospitalized. At the same time, they don't know if you have, even if a light case, sometimes you can be one of those long haulers that continues to have things going on 6 months later, you know? So, right. I mean, it's not like I feel like, oh, if I get it, I'll be fine. I just don't fucking want it. But,
well, and you're coming out of 13 months of this and your mom passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you know this?
I did know that she passed away.
That I just put in the chat. Anyway, I did not know that. I just
found that out.
It swept her nursing home and killed a bunch of people in 3 days.
Just recently?
No, back 6-8 months ago.
Fuck. That sucks. That sucks.
So the thing is, I am so twitchy around people, mm-hmm. and it's going to take a second.
Right.
And I don't want to feel like I'm not being safe when I've been told how to be safe. Right.
Right.
So when I go amongst the people again and everybody else is not masked or people are like, hey, are we shaking hands? And I'm like, are you vaccinated? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, okay, we're shaking hands. And then I'm looking for some Purell, I guess.
Yeah, I do think you are aggressively allowed to ask someone if they're vaccinated, if they're maskless in front of you. You know, you can ask in a friendly way or in an aggressive way, depending on your mood and their vibe.
And my brother Phil asked me today, he said, well, what are you going to do when people say, you know, you don't have to wear a mask anymore? I said, I've decided in a very mature voice to match their cadence exactly. If they say, you know, you don't have to wear a mask anymore, I'm going to say, you know, I haven't had a cold in over a year. I'm planning on that being my response.
I'm going to say, you know what? I know, but I actually tested positive for COVID. So I'm just wearing this to protect you.
Right. I actually, I have the bubonic plague right now. Did you want to breathe on me? You want me to breathe on you? You're an idiot.
I don't know. We'll see if people ask. Sometimes you manufacture these conversations and your reply right. never happens. And it's
it
like,
never happens.
I got a good one locked and loaded, ready to go. Someone ask me.
Right. You gotta be prepared. I like to write for the event. speaking of which, Maria did a couple of shows this week at Dynasty Typewriter.
Yeah.
And had audiences, real audiences.
Cool.
And people did guest sets and then she's also renting some garage up by where she lives to do shows.
I love it.
And she's just, you know, she's going on the road. I think we have a one nighter in Costa Mesa I'm opening for her.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, in June. And I think she's nervous about it and just wants to run jokes.
Of course. I think I have for our show, which we're going to have at my house on the 23rd.
Yep.
I have 20 to 23 chairs if I move everything from indoors, plus, you know, patio furniture and stuff like that. So we can have that much audience.
Okay.
You know, and we'll just, we'll, you know, this will be a practice show. We do have a special guest, but you know, we'll make sure, you know, it's all people we know and aren't going to come back and murder me in my sleep.
Right. In your backyard. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And sleep in my backyard. So yes.
and are we going to get a cooler? Can't get, sell some Diet Cokes. What's the merch situation going to be like?
I got a cooler.
Who's going to get the food and beverage money? Anyway, is that going to go to the venue? I think it should.
We'll see. We'll put out some beverages. Yeah.
BYOB. Try not to.
It bring your own container. Then I don't have to have I don't have to throw away plastic cups. Makes me sick to my stomach. And I don't want to have to wash your spit off my glasses. How about that?
So I'm driving up here yesterday talking to Carmen Morales on the phone, and she's like, you gotta stop at the Chiba Hut and get a sandwich, because I was telling her I had to stop and get food, and I was like, I don't want a pot sandwich, what do you think's happening? And she's like, it's food for people that are high, and they make really, really good sandwiches. And I was like, it's called the Chiba Hut. So when I went in, I said, I take it there is no marijuana in this, because Colorado, you know, the first state to legalize this stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, there's no pot in anything. It's just fine. It's just a theme. And
I'm so out of that loop. I didn't know that Chiba was any sort of reference to marijuana.
Weird. When you're the one doing edibles. And
hardly. My dog is doing my edibles. Okay.
Sure. Did your dog eat us? Did she eat her way out of the house?
She attacked a dog at the dog park, like full on. It was an aggressive attack. So we're not going back. I was lifting her lifting her body up. Like you hear about the pit bull jaw, and then I'm like, holy fuck, this is real. And we can't get her off. And my son, between me pulling the tail, like her upper body was off the air. All of her legs were off the air. I mean, in the air. And he finally, you know, with the collar, we got her off. And then I gave the guy my number. He said he didn't think it was anything, you know, but they would pay for it if it was. He had to go to the vet. But I felt terrible. So I have put off some training, you know, just because of COVID and stuff. Like, but I'm going to have somebody who's also vaccinated. They're going to come on our next hiatus week, our last hiatus week, help us with her. So because she can be a little nippy still. She's still a puppy, but it's like, that's, you know, that can.
But she has to learn how to play gentle. Some
dogs can't go to the dog park. You know, right. That would be a thing. So,
well, and some dogs aren't gentle. Some dogs, for some reason, have personality. But if you can, you can hopefully, like, I don't know anything about dogs. We have a Chihuahua. So
your dog's very chill.
The thing about Gordy is he listens until he doesn't want, and he's just like, no, I don't need to listen to that. And then just ignores. And that doesn't feel like anything but what a dog would do if he wasn't on a leash. Like, it doesn't feel personal. It just feels like, and you're like, well, it'd be great if you listened. But he's like, nah, well, safe enough.
Gordo's like our age, right? So right? Gordo's like, yeah, I got it, lady. I got it. I'm good.
I got this. It's my body, my choice. How about that? How about that, lady? And
Want
to take another break?
Ooh, let's do that.
The 2021 pin sale has begun. Thank you so much to everyone who participated in the Max Fun Drive. This is the last year for a while that we'll be doing pins for Max Fun Drive, and the fifth year that we'll be selling pins and donating all proceeds to charity. The past year proved what we already knew, that having access to the internet at home is a necessity for work, school, healthcare, and keeping in touch with family and friends. So the proceeds from this year's pin sale will go towards Everyone On, a nonprofit working to bridge the digital divide. We're grateful that with your support, we'll be able to help low-income folks gain access to affordable computers, internet services, and digital literacy programs. The sale will run until May 28th. Folks at the $10 monthly level and above will have access to all of the pins from the drive. That's 38 pins, one from every show on the network. We also have a special 2021 Max Fun Drive pin that all members can purchase. Go to MaximumFun.org/pinsale for more info. And to learn more about Everyone On and support them directly, you can go to EveryoneOn.org.
And we did. So what's the plan for the summer?
Me? Still figuring out what's going on with my writing situation.
Okay.
You know, I haven't added new dates because I don't know exactly what my schedule is going to be. And probably because no one's offered. But I don't know that I don't know that we're being too aggressive about that, because I don't want to. Whatever. I want to, as soon as my son gets 14 days past the second shot, I feel like I want to go to New York for like a week and start that part of my life up again. You know, mm-hmm. Just hang out and spot it up.
Is your roomie vexed?
Is
in New York?
I don't know, but she's out of town for like a couple months. So, maybe
you should find out.
Really matter. Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Are you going to bring him?
Maybe we'll see if he wants to. You know, it's so fun to watch his life and you know, like, we just met with the high school water polo coaches, you know,
right.
And they're talking about, you know, when summer training and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just remembering, you know, in my life, how many family vacation? Well, not that we were a family vacation family, but we took, I think, two total in you know, 20 years of everyone being home. You could never interfere with my swim training ever. It was sacred. And for some reason, my parents were like, okay, they should have been, they should have been like, no, we're doing this, right?
Where were your two vacations when you were a children?
When I was like, I was like 8 or 9, we went to Hawaii.
Okay.
And when I was like 18, we went to Mexico. So classic vacation spots for Northern California kids, right?
Yeah.
We would go to Baja sometimes. I guess we took more than I thought. But the point is like we're getting to that time where now his schedule is going to start taking over a little bit. You know, I can't just go, hey, I have 2 weeks off. I'm taking you this place, you know? So
right.
I don't know. It's just different.
It's like, it's so weird because like for a long time, you're like, I have to go places. I have to organize where you're going to be. And now you're like, I have to go places. Do you want to go? And he's like, no, I have places to go too.
I know.
I can't come. Yeah.
Yes. And like this year has, year's been so, as it has been for you, being at home with Andy, it's been like so cool to hang out with my kid all the time, really.
Right.
You know? And next, you know, they're going to be in school and high school. When we went to the high school, I could already see his eyes get like 30 times bigger. You know, it's like, this is going to be my place. And, you know, whenever I drop him off for water polo practice, he runs over to his friends. And, you know, so they're so excited to be and participate in their lives again, all these kids. And so I'm like, I might just see him like an hour a night after this year. And before it's been 24/7, basically. It's just so, I don't know.
The thing is it's sad, but it's also like, this has been an amazing year, you know?
Yeah.
That we will always remember as something that we got to do. And this whole generation of kids who were his age and younger and older.
Yeah.
And just their memories of this year are going to be so interesting. So
I just wonder, I wish I could be alive in 70 years when they figure out what the impact of this year was on kids, you know, and how it affected this generation that's coming
up.
You'll be
around 120.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're at. Kyle, where are we at?
10 more minutes.
Okay. Can I tell you that? My dad, I don't know. It sounds like cosmetic surgery. My father got
VA. Oh, no.
And he has got the VA to do his eyes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there could be, if it's bleeding into and it's affecting his vision, come on. Let him see for the last couple of years of his life. Okay.
He didn't tell any of us. He told us that he was going to have it done. I remember him telling me he was going to have it done in July. He went and just had it done like 3 days ago, 2 days ago. And then I get a call from him going, hey, I'm back from the hospital. Just want to let you know, I look like, I got beat up real bad. And, but I'm fine. And I'm just whatever. So he just leaves his message. And I guess the day before when he was in the hospital, he also gets Meals on Wheels. He doesn't need Meals on Wheels. It's the reason I donate quite so much as I do to the food bank. What he needs from Meals on Wheels is someone to talk to once a day. So Meals on Wheels delivered lunch to his apartment. He didn't cancel it. And he wasn't there. So they called my brother, Russ, who was at work, at school. Mm-hmm. And Russ was like, and so they're like, your father isn't answering the door. What should we do? And Russ is like, well, he's either in there and dead or he isn't in there. And I can't do anything about it. Why don't you give one of his neighbors the food? And they're like, well, how should we get in to find out? And my brother's like, I don't know. Call 911. And so they didn't do it. I think they just asked. His neighbor has keys and he barely locks the door anyway to his apartment. And so, but it was so, I was like, okay, but that was the story. That was the whole thing. Just crazy. Oh, and somebody called, he saw on TV on like in between one of the, he has rabbit ears in between two There was you could get a free pillow, not my pillow, not the cube or whatever, but it was just a free $100 pillow if you called and told them. So he called and he's like, I would like a free pillow because I'm 84. And so he hangs up, they call right back to try to sell him a $6,000 electric bed.
Oh my God.
My father has always loved talking to cold call people.
So oh God. What?
Like an hour and a half. He's like, sure. I was a pretty good salesman. He was a pretty good salesman. $6,000. I had him down to $3,200. And he goes, well, you know, if you give us $100 now and $100 a month, we'll deliver the bed to you. And my dad goes, well, I'm having heart surgery tomorrow. So if I live through it, I'll call you back. And he hung up. And so
that's also a good thing to have handy in your head if somebody asks why you're wearing a mask.
What's that?
I'm having heart surgery tomorrow. I'll take it off if I get it.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Jackie, your hotel, why are there shoes behind you on the wall?
I wanted it to be a different view than the bed, and there is no desk in this tiny room.
But is that the art that the hotel provided for you? Is shoes on the wall?
Yeah, there are shoe inserts.
Oh.
They're not even shoes. They're those metal things you stick in to keep the shape.
Oh.
Of shoes. Yeah.
Well, look, no one will steal it. So I actually think that's a good idea hotel-wise. Yeah. I get it.
This is quite the hipster hotel, quite honestly. Like this is the this is the holder for the tissue. It's a leather, weird leather box.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you have breakfast? Did they have
It's been great.
Do they have breakfast?
They do have breakfast, but they don't include it. There is a place around the corner that the Comedy Fort said that he has an account that if I wanted to go there, I could get a sandwich or something. And I keep going to the wrong place, but I did get a sandwich for dinner tonight because there's going to be two shows. And so, but it's good. I'm wearing my shoes that I bought in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. At the museum. Oh, those are cool.
Yep. And I'm slightly nervous about going back out into the humanity. I sold a bunch of merch last night. Gave away a bunch of masks.
That's cool. I'm excited. That's maybe I'll bring some merch to tonight's show. See what's up. I'm still.
Are you doing another Ventura?
Yeah. I have a 7 o'clock tonight. I'm still like. It's interesting. Some comics didn't quarantine and are doing material, letting people know that. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah, that's what that guy who opened for me last night.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that. I would at least
hide that. I don't
know. You know what? There's so many other things to write about. You don't have to write about that you may have contributed to someone's parent's death. I don't know. You don't have to write about that.
Bam. Yeah, you don't have to write about that. You can write about something else. It's I brought a couple of books to read and I didn't read them. I'm currently reading, what am I reading? Where is that book? Well, could be anything. Oh, my friend Andrew's dad wrote his memoir.
Yeah.
His name is Michael True and it's called True Commitments, a Memoir. Yes. And he's a giant hippie skippy peacenik dude. So did you go to find your book?
I did. I can't find it.
Welcome to the Jackie and Laurie Book Club, the last 4 minutes.
It's Celeste Ng, but it's one of those titles that's like, it's I don't know. It's one of those titles that's sort of not super specific and I can't remember it, but it's really great. Her breakthrough novel. My son and I finished my Antonia. And so we started reading The Power of Myth with them. Why are you laughing?
I just love that. That's a fun combo. It's fun. Every part of that's amusing to me.
Oh, really?
And then we're going to settle down and read some Joseph Campbell.
Well, that guy, some of his thoughts don't really hold up. I have to keep stopping every three paragraphs to go, well, okay. So this is two old men talking about marriage, and this isn't the way, you know, I mean, he's basically saying, because, you know, you have to marry the opposite sex And it's very backwards. And then he's talking about hooligans on 125th and Broadway and in Manhattan. And I'm just like,
a real rock and roll guy he was.
No, I'm trying to like get to the fucking myths. You know, I thought we were going to be reading that. I don't want to read this old man's thoughts on marriage. You know, and it's like, why were you able to have all these accomplishments? Because your fucking wife probably did all the work. What do I think about that? Whatever.
Yep.
I've never been able to finish William Golding's book instead.
Which one?
A good writing book. William Golding's book, The Adventures in the Screen Trade, for a good writing and storytelling book.
That's a good idea.
He has a much more realistic and, dare say, cynical approach that is incredibly practical.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think.
I thought we would like go in on the hero's journey because my kid's all, you know, he's so into anime and making his own thing. I thought it, you know, whatever.
There's actually a couple of good like manga books I'll float you to.
Okay.
About, like writing stuff. Sorry, this is the teacher in me.
And Andy, for his trans, he teaches this. He's part of a team that teaches a thing at his the tech college that he teaches at. It's called a transmedia degree. Mm-hmm. And what the students have to do is they have to they create an intellectual property, an IP, and then they have to write a screenplay. They have to make a tiny movie. They have to write a comic book and produce it. And they have to make a board game or a video game.
Wow. Jesus.
And this is over 2 years, I think.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Transmedia. And Andy teaches the game design portion of it. And so the class that he taught, one of the other teachers is teaching the movie Clue. From 1984, which is full of a lot of actors that were completely wasted. By a script that Norman Lear wrote on his toilet in 12 seconds. And it is such a horrible movie, Clue.
Yeah.
But it's got an amazing cast. I mean, it's got Martin Mull in it. It has Madeline Kahn in it. It has Leslie What's-Her-Face. I mean, it's an amazing... Tim Curry.
Leslie Uggams.
Don't think so.
Leslie I can think of from the 80s, 70s and 80s.
She was in Victor Victoria. She sang the song about Chicago, a town so cool, the first four letters spell chic. Anyway, but Clue sucks. I didn't like it. The last 20 minutes, it's a 2.5-hour movie.
All right.
But the last 20 minutes were okay.
Never saw it. Just started watching Legendary. Oh, by the way, very quickly. Okay, you know how I was complaining about the notion of a middle-aged female comic needing a young female comic to help her stay relevant, right?
Yes.
Okay, the actual show is fucking brilliant, okay?
Yay. Well,
the premise still makes my stomach hurt. The way they're doing it, it's like they fucking get it. And Jean Smart is so good as the, right, like the Joan Riversy sort of comic. And Hannah Einbinder is so good as her. I mean, in every scene, they're partners, you know? She's not being mowed over by Jean Smart, which pretty much every other actor would be. Mm-hmm. It's really great. And it looks great. I mean, the scenery in Las Vegas, they know how to shoot. It's just really, really well done. I would totally recommend watching Hacks. It's great. And even the stand-up part, although the one thing I was like, because her husband dies and she goes on stage and she kind of bombs. I'm like, that never happens. That's when you kill the hardest. Okay. Yeah. But you know what? Quibble, quibble, quibble. Okay. That's it. It's really great. Really well done. I totally recommend Hacks with no quality.
And when they do the great one where there's an old male comic and a super young male comic, that'll be next year.
That's all I want. I just want some more of those stories. That's all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.